Well, today, as we're continuing through this series of becoming apprentices of Jesus, I'm going to talk to you about lament. Yeah, I know. And I didn't even think about it that I wore all black today. I walked in and Janelle goes, "What are you doing, Johnny Cash?" And I was like, "Oh, okay." So at any rate, that was accidental or at least subconscious and specific, apparently, subconsciously speaking. But I want to share with you guys, in recent seasons, my wife brought it to my attention that when I get tired and discouraged, I start talking to her and I give her lists of all the broken things in this life. And so this got my attention, and after some time to process it, I realized it's because I had not developed any rhythm of lament as a part of my life. I had a backlog of sadness and anger, pain and sorrow that I have not dealt with, and so I get out the fire hose of sadness and frustration and I drench Karen with all of it when I'm too tired to avoid my list of disappointments. Is anybody? No, just me? Okay. So I need to air all of my complaints and pain. I didn't know I needed to do that. I need to be able to air all of my complaints and my pain. I just didn't know that I was allowed to do it with God. I was in denial about having a list in the first place, and even if I would occasionally admit it and then fire hose Karen with it, you're welcome, baby, I didn't know that I could bring it to God. It just, to me, honestly, felt like complaining and lack of faith. And that's how I've related with it. I would venture to guess that a lot of people here might feel the same way when it comes to dealing with discouragement or sadness or disappointment or pain or woundedness or failures or those things that are going on. Am I allowed to bring that to God? Many of us, I think, have not actually been shown how to process this part of life as believers the way that Jesus did. Jesus had a process to deal with his grief. Jesus had a process to deal with his sadness. He had a process that he demonstrated to us. And by the way, Jesus learned that process. It had already been given to us before he came as a man. So he walked out the same pattern that we've seen in the scriptures, fulfilling every scripture. But he himself was discipled by those very scriptures that were inspired by the Holy Spirit when he came as a man. I think this is upstream for a lot of us. I think this is upstream for many of us, of a lot of hurts and hang-ups and habits. Have you guys noticed that a wounded heart gets pretty infected after a while if we don't treat it properly? And this life provides us with a lot of pain and wounding. Many of us are better at other parts of faith. We want to skip this part. In fact, I said that kind of funny, didn't I? We want to skip this part. And in fact, some of us, myself included, for many years, have considered lament as the opposite of faith. Is anybody else in here? You know, you don't have to admit right away, but thank you that you did it. I'm feeling encouraged now. I was like, man, I guess I'm the only one that doesn't know how to lament. Everybody else is like, duh. But I want to demonstrate to you guys today, with God's help, that lament is a vital part of our faith. It's a part of being in intimate relationship with God. In fact, King David, the man after God's own heart, who wrote most of the book of Psalms, which is given to us as language for our worship and prayer, 1/3 of them are laments. Did you know that? 1/3 of the Psalms are laments. Not to mention, there's a book in the Bible called Lamentations. I kid you not, while prepping for this sermon, I realized that Lamentation starts with lament. That is a true fact. And I was like, oh, lament. So I'm pretty pro at this now, so I'm here to share with you guys how to get this done. So what is lament? What is lament? Lament is a prayer given in pain that leads to trust. Lament is a prayer that we give, oh man, well, I'm getting right into it, in pain that leads to trust. It is honest about the pain we're in. We're not in denial when we're lamenting. We're not staying in despair and giving up. We're bringing our pain and our complaint to God in prayer. And as we pour out our hearts to him, he leads us back into a place of hope and trust. There is a progression in lament, and each part is absolutely essential. We can't skip around. How many of you guys just want to skip to the end? How many of you are like me? Yeah, come on. Just want to get to the good part. But we're actually invited to lament by God himself. And I want to start with why he, God, is uniquely qualified to give that invitation, okay? So let's start right there. God himself understands grief, he understands sadness, and he understands pain. And God himself is waiting with us for all things to be made new. He has joined us in the pain of waiting for all things to be renewed. In fact, he was the first one to feel that. He was the first one to feel the pain of the brokenness of humanity. Come with me. We're going to go to Genesis 6, 5 through 6. It says this. This is right after. This is just in Genesis, six chapters in. And already it says, when the Lord saw that human wickedness was widespread on the earth and that every inclination of the human mind was nothing but evil all the time, the Lord regretted that he made man on the earth, and he was deeply grieved. The breakdown of that translation is that his heart was torn within him over the grievous things that man had chosen to do. He grieved the pain of seeing his perfect creation turn against him and choose to side with the enemy and allow his every inclination then to be evil. He understands pain and what it is to see his dream broken into pieces, to see what he had hoped would happen and what we chose after being deceived by the enemy happened. In Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5, it says this, speaking of Jesus, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Did you catch that? God himself is acquainted with grief. He understands what it is to bear sorrow. He is qualified to tell us how to deal with that. And in fact, he chose to bear ours as well as his. In Psalm 22, 1 through 2, Jesus, when he's on the cross, he actually quotes the beginning of this psalm, which, by the way, this psalm is summarizing Isaiah that I just wrote to you, and it says, he said this, my God, why have you forsaken me? This was when he was giving his life on the cross. He says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from my words of groaning? My God, I cry by day, but you do not answer by night, yet I have no rest. And when David penned this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this psalm continues and ends with, for he was pierced for our transgressions. It ends with, the one, they will look upon the one whom they have pierced. And it says, and this will be written for a generation not yet born. Jesus, in his moment of agony, said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was crying out to the Lord, but he was also telling us, I'm fulfilling everything, and I will be pierced, and a generation not born will hear of me. It was a lament in the time of the fulfillment of the scriptures that Jesus fulfilled. So God understands what it is to carry pain. He understands what it is to be wounded. And he is above all the one that would be able to teach us. And Jesus himself walked this out. How to lament. How to live in this broken world. He's given us lament as a way to process these parts of life. The difference between what God wants and where we are right now. The difference between the earth that God created and said, it is very, very good. And then you don't have to look far to see that there's a lot of things that aren't good that are going on. He looked at us and he said, it is very, very good. And you don't have to look far to see that we are not where he wants us to be yet. Amen? And when we look at that, there's that sorrow, there's that disappointment that grips our heart. And I don't even need to point at anybody else. I have great sorrow in my own heart in the areas that I have not yet become transformed. Even as I'm being renewed by my mind, there's things in my life that I go, really? Really? And it's so discouraging. It's so frustrating. It's so humiliating to still be in process. I look at the promises of God and then I look at where I am at times and I go, oh my goodness, God, this is horrible. And in those places too, then he gives us the gift of lament to be able to call out to him. We look at this earth, we look at our desire for the list goes on, but we look at the brokenness of this world and even well-meaning people in the spirit of justice break things and create injustice, trying to bring justice. We see so many things where our solutions create a problem that's equal or worse than the problem we're trying to solve. And we see that in our hearts are hurting. Our hearts are wounded. We're frustrated. We're discouraged. We're angry. So then how do we move forward? What do we do with that? Well, lament is something that God has invited us to do as believers so that we don't become anger mongers. We don't become rage machines. We don't become despondent and despairing where we no longer even pray. We don't become addicted. How many of you guys know that, as I said, downstream from an inability to lament are a whole lot of habits, a whole lot of hurts, a whole lot of hangups, a whole lot of coping medications because the pain of our heart is still there. And many of you, like me, are in denial that it's even there. Well, I'm just praising the Lord because I know his word is true and it will come to pass. And that is 100% true and that is a part of faith. But you have to bring your sorrow to the Lord or you will be suffering this whole time in ways that you don't need to suffer. You will be hung up and angry. And here's the thing, guys. There was a time when I was having such a challenge to feel, period, but to feel the presence of the Lord. And I was like, God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? I don't feel you. I believe you're around. I believe you're here, but I don't know where you are. And I'm getting very frustrated. This is a hard space for me right now. I'm in a bad place right now. Where are you? And he said, Joshua, I am with you. And I said, I have no evidence of that in the sense of peace and presence from you. And he said, that's because I am with you in your place of pain. And you refuse to be honest with me and others about your pain and about where you really are. You are an exaggeration of the real you. Come to the pain and you will find me. Because I am where you actually are, not where you want to be, not where you're pretending to be, not this little exaggeration created space that you think pleases me. That's a fake aberration that you created. That's your mask. Come here to where you are, because that's where I am. A broken and a contrite heart is acceptable to me, Joshua. Come home to me. But I don't like pain. I don't like pain. It makes me feel small and powerless and afraid. It makes me limited. It tells me that my illusions of control are just that. They're illusions. And lament invites us to come to those places and to still be able to come to a place of trust and peace with the Lord while we have to live in the midst of the disparity between what he will do and what he has said, and what we are yet experiencing. And there's a gap between there. Has anybody noticed? In Romans chapter 8, 14 through 27, I'm going to go through this fairly quickly, and I want to make a couple of points. It says, for all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons, and that's mankind, sons and daughters. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, or Daddy, God. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Catch this. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. In this life, we are invited to suffer with God in the things that he is suffering. He is waiting for the redemption of all things, and he invites us to wait with him, to align our hearts with the things that break his heart. It continues, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's going to be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly waits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself would also be set free from the bondage to decay into the glorious freedom of God's children." Do you see this? There's a frustration. How many of you feel a frustration when we look at what it should be and what it currently is? For we know the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. And not only that, but we ourselves who have the Spirit as the first fruits, we also groan within ourselves. This is language of lament. We groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Oh, it'll be so good not to sin in anger, not to sin in lust, not to sin in greed or control or fear or shame. Are you with me? And not to be dying. I took a picture with my gorgeous little granddaughter, Evie Lou, the other day. She's so cute. She's doing this thing now where she sticks her tongue out. She's just gorgeous. She's just like this bright little sunshine beam. And she's like... And so Karen handed her to me, and I'm like, oh, you know, just holding this little daughter of the king, and she's smiling so much, and I'm like, oh. And Karen's like, let me snap some pictures. So she's like, click, 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 click. And so then it's like, gorgeous little sunshine beam, and then me. And I'm looking at these pictures, and I'm like, you're dying. You are getting old. It's like, here's the sunshine beam of life and youth and glory, and then here's me. And I was like, it's getting stark. I'm groaning within myself, all right? We're waiting to not age. It's going to be great. Now, in this hope, we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. Did you catch that? In this hope, we are saved. We need a language of lament because we are looking towards something that's not yet seen. Because who hopes for what he sees? Now, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience. I'm reading this to you in the New Testament because I want to tell you, beautiful, charismatic, spirit-filled kingdom people that are influencing God and asking that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, keep doing it, but you need to learn how to cry. You need to stop pretending like you're not bleeding in your armor. You need to quit secretly drinking and doing all these things and being angry and being sad and being lonely and being isolated and being judgmental and being keyboard warriors and whatever other good thing that God gave you that you're turning evil because you don't know how to be sad. And he has given you lament so that you can be sad and turn it into a prayer and come back into a place of letting him heal your broken heart, sometimes several times a day, so that we can continue the good work. But we cannot skip this essential part. Are you with me? So, New Testament kingdom covenant people, I'm giving you permission in the new covenant to lay a hold of the eternal gift that God has given us that continues until Jesus comes, there will be lament with our rejoicing. Now, there's only a third of them that are lament. So keep it in perspective. If you're doing two-thirds lament and one-third the other, we'll pray it'll be a short season. But I think those percentages can guide us a little bit. We don't stay only in sadness, but sometimes there are times of sadness. Are you with me? I jumped into Jason's catchphrase. Are you with me? In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. What does that sound like? It is the language of lament. And he who searches our heart knows the minds of the Spirit because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Saints, there's still an intercession that's happening. And lament is part of that, where we say, God, 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 when? How long? Why are you, what are you waiting for? When, I loved a prayer, Pete Gregg was talking about when his wife got cancer. And he prayed a great prayer of lament. He said, Lord, I need you to know right now that yes, you can heal my wife if she passes and if you take her right now. But I gotta tell you, between you and I'm not gonna be out there shilling your amazing, amazing kingdom. You need to heal my wife here too. And you know what? God could handle it. And he did heal her too. And we don't know how many more years she has, but he heard his prayer. He wasn't afraid to go to the Lord and say, this is what's happening in my heart. This is my place of desperation. This is the pain that I'm in. God can handle our complaint. In fact, let me break this down for you a little bit, okay? Lament involves us allowing ourselves to feel the sorrow that we're going through, to feel the pain that we're going through. We give voice to it unto the Lord. We feel the sorrow, and then we speak the sorrow to the Lord. That's the beginning of lament. We turn to the Lord, and we feel what's going on inside of us, and then we give it to him. But we don't edit it. He can handle it. He can handle it. In fact, John 15 says, God calls us his friends. How many of you have ever vented to a friend? And he's an even better friend because he can do a lot with it. I love this poem. My wife has it hanging on her wall. And in fact, Candy, her sister, printed it up for her and did this beautiful artistic piece with it. But it's by Dinah Maria Mullick Craik. Here's the words. Oh, the comfort, the inexpressible comfort of feeling safe with a person, having neither to weigh thoughts nor measure words, but pouring them all right out, just as they are, chaff and grain together, certain that a faithful hand will take and sift them, keep what is worth keeping, and with the breath of kindness, blow the rest away. God is the friend that keeps closer than a brother. He can handle the language of your pain. He invites you to give him the unedited desperation of your heart. It is an intimacy to not edit the anguish of your soul in the midst of pain with the Lord. It's possible to complain and sin. If you, like Job's wife told him to do, curse God and die, well, that's, you've gone too far. But it is invited by God to complain without sin, which is given to you in lament. And I would like to suggest that if you don't learn to lament, you and I will learn how to complain in sin. And probably most of us are pretty okay at it. There are some aspects here that are important with lament. And I'm certainly not trying to be exhaustive here. In fact, we're gonna continue. We'll revisit this. This is an important part. Like I said, a third of the Psalms is about lament. So we as kingdom people need to know how to do that. So we need to have songs of lament as well as songs of worship and praise and adoration. We need all of that because we still live in a broken world and we intercede through lament. Isn't it okay for us to be able to sing a song that speaks of the brokenness in the world and the brokenness in us, and yet seeks that God would move in us and in the world? Would that be wrong to keep singing those songs while we continue to say, let your kingdom come? I'd like to suggest that we need a few more songs about lament on Sundays when we gather in worship. That we need to be able to give voice to some of that so that when we come, we don't have to skip the part where we say, where are you, God? Will you not move? We all cry out and seek you, yet we will praise you. Here's that's where it continues. We turn, we complain, we ask, but then in lament, and this is the key difference between simply complaining, it ends in trust. We vent it all unto the Lord, and then we ask him, God, let your kingdom come. God, you're the only one that can fix this. I'm not big enough, I'm not smart enough. I'm not able to do this without you. I need you to do this. We turn, we complain, we ask, and we let God remind us that he is trustworthy, that he is with us. And we continue to do that as often as is needed. We've got a wonderful saint that's going to come share today a little bit about how she laments. And so, how Sheila laments. That was accidental. I'm going to get off the stage.
We've had Paul and Sheila Gunderson and their family with us for a lot of years, and they are wonderful, wonderful people. And as we were talking about this particular topic of walking with God through suffering and lamenting, they came to mind because they've been through some really, really hard stuff, and they are aces at this, at lament. You're really good at lamenting, which is like, Sheila, can you tell us where this sort of came from? You had an incident many years ago where this really began.
Yeah, I prepared all this, and I'm hoping I can get through it without, getting all crying on you. But I've always felt safe with God, that he draws near to us in our pain. One of my first experiences was our first child. I was halfway through pregnancy and found out the baby had died, and I had to go and deliver him. And my cousin came down from Portland for the delivery, and she, back in this day, we burned CDs. You know, now you just make playlists, but she burned me a CD of songs that were for hurting and healing, and she gave that to me as I labored through to deliver our son who had died. And that was like music just opens up my soul into a sacred place of being able to process and grieve and lament before God, and he cares to enter into our pain. So that was a big first experience for me, and music was huge.
And that whole thing of turning into the pain, it's so easy to want to turn away from it, and that helped you turn into it so you can invite God right there.
Yeah, and that CD, music, things like that, I can continue like to make space. Like, we can run from pain really well, and I think we all know how to do that. I keep busy. That's how I often do it. But to take time to say something just doesn't feel good, I need to go on a drive, put that CD on back in the day, you know, and just listen and let the tears fall and flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys you've walked through a lot of really hard things, and you've had lots of opportunity to lament over the years.
Yeah. Yeah. So, not just loss of babies, but also hard diagnoses for two of our kids, type 1 diabetes, changed our life. They need insulin every time they eat. So these were hard, big blows that pulled us off the mission field that just changed our lives. So I feel like I had opportunities there too to process with God rawly. Like, he can handle our rawness and our pain and our anger and our confusion. We don't have to have arrived. We just get to be real. And I loved what Josh was saying about, I mean, there's no facade. There's no faking. There's no masks. We just have to show up weak and vulnerable and feeling small and out of control. And he delights to meet us there. And I'm so confident of that now because I have experienced him meeting me in those deep places. And I guess I wanted to communicate that it's not just in those big places. Like, when you asked me to come and share about this week, I had just pulled myself off the floor in my room with a blanket. I have this chair in my room that I picture is like God's lap, and I go and I crawl into it when I'm just feeling angsty, or maybe it's small stuff like I'm feeling like a failure as a mom right now, or I'm confused at this situation and I don't know how to handle it, or I'm grieving over a change in parenting season, or, you know, it could be a number of things. I'm disappointed in this relationship, or it can be small. It doesn't have to be the huge, big losses of our lives, but even there, I felt like I'm a mess. I need to be with Jesus this morning. So after kids went to school, I wrapped up in a blanket and I crawled into that chair and I cried. And I think pausing in life, because I could have just gotten busy. I'm really good at that. And to say, no, I'm going to go back into my bedroom going to go away from my phone. I'm going to get into his lap and just say, God, I'm so confused. And, you know, I vent either verbally or journaling is another big thing I wanted to talk about. I pour out my heart in journaling to him because I don't even know what I'm feeling sometimes. I just know I'm off, you know? And sometimes the process of journaling helps me know what I'm feeling. And then after the tears fall, after the I voice it or I journal it, then I can be still. Then I can listen to him and say, God, what do you have to say to me about this pain? And he shows up.
The thing I just find so beautiful about this is that really has become a practice for you.
Yeah.
Like this has become a go-to. And I think that is really, really beautiful. And we can get, like Joshua says, we can be in full denial. Or start to go into medication for ourselves. We can go into work. Or the other thing I see a lot of us do is go into the silver linings right away. You know, like, okay, we had to come off the mission field because of Nathan's diagnosis. But there's so many beautiful things. And look what God did. And it's just so, and in process, you're like dying inside. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's okay. We can acknowledge the good things that God does in the middle of something. But we're skipping over the fact that something really, really hard happened. And we think that we're ungrateful or something if we acknowledge that. But we're not.
Yeah. And I took great comfort in Jesus with Lazarus. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus. He knew. And he took time to weep over him. And that just gives me great permission to weep too. He meets us in that. He loves the raw and real. And like Josh was saying, he can't meet you there if you're not being real and honest and you're just being fakey and trying to pull it together. I have my thankful list. I do too. But that does not replace the real, honest, gut-wrenching honesty with God that we need.
In the spirit of allowing music, Joshua has a short little exercise for us to do. Thank you, Sheila, so much.
Yeah, Paul, when he had shared recently, he was talking about a good resource for us is poor Bishop Hooper. And so I was just listening to those, and I'm gonna play one of those psalms for you, and it's Psalm 6. And we're going to put the words up here. And I want you to remember this. The practice of lament is a practice of those who follow Christ. Jesus often went away to desolate places and wept and prayed. The scripture says that several times, that Jesus would go away and he would seek the Lord with wailing and with groaning. And here we see in the scripture in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit in us groans. We join with the Lord in those spaces and places. So we have to have a rhythm of taking the time to mourn and to call out to him from these honest places of joining him in his suffering, that we would join him in his glory. The scripture says this, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." It does not say, blessed are those who skip mourning. You have to mourn in order to be comforted in the same way that you have to repent in order to be forgiven. You cannot be comforted unless you express your pain. Can you receive that? So as we practice right now, I want to invite you, and the Psalms are, again, a wonderful place for us. They give us a prayer book where sometimes you just go through the Psalms, and you could be reading them out loud or reading them quietly, but you go until you find your voice. You find your prayer right now where your spirit goes, that is my prayer right now. And sometimes that's a lament, and sometimes that's rejoicing. It's, you know, we're not always lamenting. But we're going to do that today. So I want you to look for your voice in this song. It's okay if today your voice isn't in this song. But I want us to just take a time. The words are going to be up there. I want you to listen. And I want you to just pay attention to your own spirit, to your own heart. And if it finds voice, then lift your spirit up to the Lord. Lift yourself to the Lord and let him receive that lament from your heart and let him bring his comfort. Let him bring you back to a place of trust. It might just be a beginning today too. Don't perform. This isn't about performing or a destination. This is about a practice. Amen? So we're going to go ahead and play that song now.
gracious Lord, for I am weak and my bones shake at the thought of it. I'm sick at heart, sick at heart. Oh Lord, how long, Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, and rescue. Won't you save me for your faithful? What dead man can remember you? Who can lift their praise from Sheol? While tears dampen my pillow, my bed's a lake of sorrows. My eyes are swollen shut, Lord, from the ocean of my cries. But the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for his help. The Lord accepts my prayer no matter how it's broken. The Lord will make my enemies turn and run. But the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for his help. The Lord accepts my prayer, no matter how it's broken. The Lord will make my enemies turn and run.
We're just gonna get super vulnerable here together. Will you leave that last verse up there, Lincoln? Maybe some of you that might be willing to just say, even in this last refrain. And Jason, would you grab a mic, or here, I'll give you one. But in this last refrain, did anybody hear, was there a word or a phrase that you went, oh, that's my heart right now. That's my heart right now. Just raise your hand. You can just share that word or that phrase. You don't have to beleaguer it. I'll start. I love, he accepts my prayer no matter how it's broken. And as I was listening to this song, it just made me cry. Just that I can pray a broken prayer. And he's like, oh, that's my boy. Over here.
Thank you. I like the last line that says, the Lord will make my enemies turn and run. And I think of, this was a great sermon, by the way. I think of how scripture says that the Lord intercedes for us and with us. And so there was comfort in that, knowing that as I'm practicing the gift of lament, that the Lord is interceding with me. And the things that I'm contending for that, as you said, Pastor, are broken. They're not as God would want them, that he is there interceding with me and moving, and the enemies will turn and run in the circumstance to bring him to wholeness and completeness. Thank you.
The part that kind of resonates with me is the first line. The Lord has heard the sound of my weeping, and there's so many times that I have felt like I am alone when things have been going horribly wrong for me, and knowing that he still hears us and knows what we are going through.
Yeah, that's good. Right in the back.
I had an experience where I found God helped me literally. I had a guy try to attack me. I was homeless for 4 years, And I was sleeping on the side of a building, and he came up and said, I'm going to spray you. And he got in, trying to get in his bag to get something to spray me with. I was like, what are you talking about? Who are you? What are you doing here? And so I would, like, push him back, and then he'd push me down. I'd push him back, and push him down. He almost got his spray, and I said, God, help me. And then he got in his car and drove away.
Come on. Ever-present help in time of need. That's awesome. Let me do one more, and we'll come to a close, if there is one more. Oh, right over here, Brian.
You mentioned how it's broken. The part that I love is no matter how it's broken. Mm. And who is not broken? And who can, and he saves us. He can make us whole. But it's part of us that says, I am broken. Yeah. I need you.
Come on. Well, Lord, we thank you so much that you hear us. We thank you that you've given us a language to be able to live in this world while reaching towards your redemption, to be able to walk through the space in between and to still be continually healed and made whole by you while we wait to be fully healed and made whole by you. Lord, I pray for us as your people that you would teach us how to bring lament into our life as a part of our obedience and our worship and our intimacy with you. Thank you for the good work that you're doing in each of us and that you promise to complete it. I pray for each of us individually that you would show us how to do this with you. And I thank you for the gift of lament. And if you agree with that prayer, would you just say amen? Well, you guys are dismissed. Go and bless our cities and your areas of influence.